In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so begins the greatest book ever written, one which tells the greatest story ever told. These words lay the foundation for understanding everything around us and for understanding ourselves. These words speak of a God who is eternal. At the very beginning of anything, He is there. From His creative power comes everything that we experience, everything we see or taste or touch or smell or hear. Apart from Him is nothing. At the crown, at the peak, at the pinnacle of everything that God created was a man and a woman. They were a perfect pair, created to have a perfect relationship with each other and a perfect relationship with God. They would live and would love what God loves. They would be devoted to Him. They would follow His one special command forever. A lesson from Genesis chapter 2. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were made, when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the word of our Lord. The perfection of the garden, now that first marriage, is all but impossible for us to imagine, isn't it? We live in a world characterized not by harmony and happiness, or by comfort and contentment, but by struggle and strife, and by discord and discontent. We live in a world perpetually east of Eden because of the terror attack on all mankind that took place there. We live in a world where we too often consider God less trustworthy than the devil, and our own interests are almost always outweigh any concern for our neighbors. Unlike paradise, this cannot last forever. This cannot be our end. Neither Adam, nor Eve, nor any of the rest of us who are their descendants can make a return to paradise, not on our own. And so, though they had stopped loving Him, God never stopped loving them. Though they would be banished from the garden, they would be sent away with the most valuable possession they could possibly own, for God gave them a promise. Lesson from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man is now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of our Lord. One man and one woman. They were previously not only in love, but perfectly so. It was the joy and pleasure of each to love God and to love the other. And then everything changed. By their own fault, prodded on by the tempting serpent, they rebelled against God and found they had also rebelled against each other. Love was replaced by blame. Service was replaced with selfishness. But they had the promise. One man and one woman. And one day from the offspring of that woman would come the one who would destroy the devil, crushing his head, and would restore joy and love and peace. But that one would not come to Adam and Eve. Their descendants would be the ones to see his face and witness his work. It was only later that God began to focus that promise. He singled out Abraham to be an ancestor. He singled out Isaac and Jacob and Judah. And that promise passed from generation to generation of those who believed and trusted that God would carry out what he had pledged. And that included David. David was the young shepherd boy raised up to be a king and a champion and a soldier. And he was ready and prepared to build a house as stunning as the palace in which he lived. A house for God. But that wasn't God's plan. God would build a house for David instead. God would build a line of succession. Many kings would follow David, sons upon sons. But the magnitude of the promise was such that David's house, the one built by the Lord, would last forever. Lesson from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one I will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. This is the word of our Lord. As years intervened, many forgot the promise. They stopped trusting that God, as the only one who could do so, would rescue them from the misery of sin, from the guilt of sin, and from the punishment that sin deserved. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in their own strength, their own skill, their own cunning, and in their own decisions. They lived as if they did not need the one who was promised, and as though they wanted to face God without him. But the promise remained. One particularly wicked king heard the promise in the most unusual of circumstances. Even as he refused to acknowledge the Lord or to obey his commands, the Lord gave him a sign. A virgin would have a child. That child would be Emmanuel, God with us. It was too amazing to even be believable. And yet, as he did all along, God led some to believe it. With him, nothing would be impossible. And that was his promise. Lesson from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. This is the word of our Lord. As we all know too well, the first sin in the perfect garden was just the beginning. It led to another and another, more and more, and not just for Adam and Eve, but for all who came after them. There was no escaping its clutches. Descendants of sinful parents were born in sin and then raised in sin, and the cycle was endless. Even people to whom God himself appeared, to whom he spoke, in front of whom he performed miracles and signs and wonders, Even they could not break the cycle of sin. They would earn and deserve every punishment that could be imagined. They had earned and deserved God's anger and His wrath. But God's promise would not fade. It would not go away. And so a prophet came, and more would follow, not to speak words of anger, but to speak words of comfort. God's people would be comforted because God would give them not what they deserved, but a double measure of His goodness. They would be released from all their hard surface, and their sin would be paid for because He was coming. The offspring of the woman, the child of the virgin, that king in the line of David. Get ready. Prepare for Him, for the one who will gather and lead like a shepherd, tending his flock. A lesson from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The round ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and He rules with a mighty arm. See, His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of our Lord. The promise continued to take shape. More and more was known about what God would accomplish, at least by those who listened to His word and heard His prophets. A child, a son, of a woman, of a virgin, from Abraham's line and David's line. The king, the ruler who would indeed come. He would come from a place that was almost too small to be significant. It was not the size of the town of Bethlehem for which it would be known. But the one who would come from there, one whose greatness would reach to the ends of the earth. Lesson from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. This is the word of our Lord. Thousands of years had passed since the promise was first given in the Garden of Eden. Hundreds of years had passed since God last spoke to His people through the prophets. But it was time for Him to speak again. It was time for Him to fulfill the promise. To prepare those who were waiting for so long, God would first send a special prophet. His job was to get the people ready for the promised one. And he would be something special. Because he would be something special, the announcement of his birth would be something special.
The tension that came from such an event would demonstrate that people should listen to his message, a message that came from the only one who could give a barren couple a child in their old age, or shut the mouth of a man from the time of his doubting to the time of his child's birth. Each Advent we hear a message that we ought to take to heart. We need to be a people ready for the Lord. We need to listen to what God has to say, whether through his angels or through his prophets. We need to be constantly turned back from our sins and turned to the promise and to the promise keeper. A lesson from Luke chapter 1. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this to me, has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of our Lord. The age Zechariah was not the only one to whom God sent his angel messenger. After only 6 months had passed, the next step in the promise-keeping plan would unfold. The birth of John to his elderly parents was unexpected and surprising. The birth of Jesus to a virgin was impossible, but it was the promise. And nothing is impossible for the one who made the promise. Nothing would prevent him from keeping his promise. Zechariah doubted. Mary believed. She questioned, but she trusted God's answer. She trusted that God could do what she knew was impossible. She trusted that God would keep his promise and that he would keep his promise through her. May God give to each of us such a confidence that we may humbly trust what he tells us. Listen from Luke chapter 1. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of our Lord. When God makes a promise, he will keep it. We've heard that already this morning of many who heard God promise and believed that it would be fulfilled. Adam and Eve, David, Isaiah, Mary, how they long for that promise to be kept. The birth of a child, the Son of God, God with us. He is no longer a mystery, no longer a future for which we must wait. We wait and prepare each year for a special celebration, but we know what's coming. We know the message of a promise kept. Our celebration looks back to the manger, not ahead to it. And that is why we come to listen to God's word. We prepare our hearts today to visit the manger. And let us again join tonight and tomorrow to celebrate with those we have seen that God's promise has been kept. Jesus Christ came to crush the serpent's head. He will come to establish an eternal kingdom. He will come to proclaim peace and comfort. He has come to die and to rise again for Adam and Eve, for David and Isaiah, for Mary, and for you and for me. To God be endless praise and glory. Lesson from Romans chapter 16. "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known to the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of our Lord. O God, you make us glad with the expectation of the coming of your one and only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we who with joy receive him as our Redeemer may without fear behold him when he comes to be our Judge, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive now the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look on you with favor and give you peace.